Again, open your Bibles in John chapter 17. The name of the message is Beholding Christ's Glory. Let us think for a minute what it will be like when we leave the land of the dead, which is this world, and we wake up in the land of the living, and we open up our eyes, and the very one we behold is Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, that'll thrill our souls, won't it? That'll just... There'll be no joy, I don't think, like that joy. We get a little taste of it now, but then we'll be home. And what comfort when we see him face to face. That's what Scripture says. We see through a glass darkly now. Right? You ever have a glass and you put some chemicals in it or something and it's still got a little bit of clarity in it and you try to look through it to see what's on the other side and you can't see very good, but you see this fog? That's how we see right now. You got this veil. Veil of flesh. So right now we see the glory of God through a glass darkly. But one day, beloved, we will behold the glory of God in Christ face to face. We will see him as we're seen. As we see one another, we'll see him. You hope it'll come to pass. But he says this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. I know a little bit right now about God and his glory. But then shall I know even as also I am known. Face to face. Like we know each other, brother. Like we know each other, sister. We're going to know Christ. We're going to see him face to face. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love, charity. But the verse that I wanted to pull from there, and that was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13, is verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly. That's how we see Christ now, darkly. But then face to face. We know that the just live by faith, right? We've seen that in Galatians, in our study in Galatians, that the just live by faith, and we know that's the righteous ones, and we know that those are the ones who are made righteous by Christ and him alone. There's no other way to be made righteous except through Christ. We can't make ourselves righteous. The just will live by faith, living and moving in heaven our being, doing what? Trusting and resting in Christ. That's what we do. We now live a life by faith. And that faith is that God-given faith that God gives us. And that faith has one object, and that's Christ. We look to him and him alone. We rest in his perfect finished work, don't we? For the salvation of our souls. Now, look at verse 24 in John 17. Christ is for his people all in all. But in glory, that faith and hope shall become sight. Shall become sight. As we behold Christ, now think of this. We're going to behold Christ in all his glory. Remember he revealed a little bit of that on the Mount of Transfiguration? Just a little bit. That's just a glimpse. We're going to behold him in all his glory. How do we know that? Well, look what Christ prays for in tonight's verse, which is verse 24 of John chapter 17. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We're going to behold the glory of Christ, beloved. Excuse me. Which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. These are just wonderful words, beloved. They're just absolutely wonderful words. And they're uttered by he who is God incarnate in the flesh. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. These are his words. Again, like we looked at last week, these are words of fact, right? These are facts. When he says here, that his people be with him where he was, and behold his glory, which God gave him before the foundation of the world. And when we breathe our last breath, beloved, we will open our eyes in glory, looking at the one who is full of glory and grace and truth. My, oh my. Now let's read verses 20 to 26 so we can see the context of verse 24 tonight. Again, he's praying for all the elect of all the ages in these verses. This is the last section of this prayer. And again, he's praying for all the elect of all the ages. He says, neither pray I for these alone, which he was praying for the apostles in the section before this, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will. That's a whole message by itself that I'm going to preach in the future, Lord willing. I will. Christ, I will. That they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So verse 24 is where we're going to be looking at tonight, and there's so much joy that can come from this verse. It's absolutely incredible. This whole chapter has been absolutely incredible to study. And I found preparing this message that it's just blessings on top of blessings. Just wonderful. Wonderful. The more we hear about Christ, the more we want to hear about Christ. And the more the Holy Spirit reveals to us these wonderful truths in the Scripture, the more we can't wait to be at home in heaven with him. Oh my. Let's read verse 24 one more time. It's truly a wonderful verse of Scripture. It'll bring the believer in Christ much comfort and joy. Father, I will, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now there will come a day when this world will be no more. This world is going to just be rolled up along with the universe and burned up. And there be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No sin. No sin at all. And there come a day when this world's no more. And we who are the redeemed of the Lord will not suffer with the troubles of this world anymore. There be no more sorrow. It's a world of sorrow, isn't it? There be no more pain. It's a world of pain. There be no more tears. It's a world of tears. So, my, oh my. But you know, that's the only tribulation we will ever face is in this life. There be no tribulation in heaven. Nothing. There be no sin. Imagine never having a sin thought. Never being distracted, never always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't be distracted anymore, brother. We'll just be like, no more ADD. Oh, Lord. We'll just be looking at him, won't we? Right?
Together.
Yeah. Forever. It'll be wonderful, won't it? Forever. Oh, it'll be wonderful. No more of anything like that. No more troubles, no more sickness, no more sorrow. We'll be in a place called heaven. And you know that place called heaven is a place prepared by God the Father for a chosen people. He's already prepared it. That's why the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. Don't let your heart not be troubled with the things in this world. Don't be carried away by the things of this world. And why did he tell us that? Why did he tell the apostles that? Because that happens to us, isn't it? See, that's what I noticed in the scriptures. I don't know if you guys have noticed. You probably have too. That we constantly have these exhortations. come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, are weary, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Right? Why does he tell us that? Because we're heavy laden and we're weary, right? Yeah. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because our hearts get troubled. Right? Peter says, Lord, help my unbelief. Because we all have unbelief. Right? All of us. All of us. And so we pray that God would give us the grace and the strength to go through the various things, especially that occur in this world, right? And he would help us and give us the grace to look to him in all situations. We see this wonderful line in this high priestly prayer in verse 24. In this, do you know this prayer is still being answered today? The first part of this verse says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Now, where's he going? He's going back to glory, isn't he? When he completes the mission, when he redeems his people from their sins, he's going right back to glory. And I was reading a commentator today, and he brought up something fantastic, that before the sacrifices and all that, the high priest would go in and light the incense and light all that stuff, right? And then apply the blood. He likened Christ's prayer as to like the high priest going in and lighting the incenses and praying for his people before he sheds his blood. I thought it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So here is this high priestly prayer for you and I, beloved. For his people, for his apostles, and for you and I. All the elect of all the ages. It's absolutely wonderful. Before he offers himself up as a sacrifice, he's praying a sweet-smelling perfume of prayer to the Father. That's what Hawk brought out. I thought it was magnificent. It's so true. So true. And you know, every time a saint goes home to be with the Lord, to be with the Lord, this prayer is answered where he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Every time a saint departs this world, that prayer is answered. Because where are they? To be absent from the Lord is to be, I'm talking, my tongue is tangling all over. Thank you guys for having grace with me tonight. To be absent from the body is what? Be present with the Lord. Just like that. So I said, that's why Dottie Bell said Mary just opened her eyes and she's in glory. And we know where our dear brother is. Opened his eyes and he's in glory. My, oh my, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I'll never forget when I talked to Jim. And he says, Wayne, I'm just resting in the Savior. I'm resting in the great shepherd of my soul. Oh, bless me so much. Oh, my. And when he passed away, he woke up in glory. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So the second we breathe our last breath, we are immediately with the Lord. Immediately with him. Beholding the glory of the Redeemer. We won't care about anything else in this world. We will just be beholding. We will be so caught up in awe at the glory of the Redeemer, at the presence face to face of the lover of our souls, the one who shed his precious blood for us, still has the handprints where the nails pierced him, in his hands and his feet. He's the God-man. He's the God-man mediator. And we're going to see him face to face. And you know what? That's when our hope instantly becomes sight. Because remember, when you hope for something, you don't see it. Instantly, our faith becomes sight. That's what Paul was writing about. When we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Just like that. Just like that. Oh, it's wonderful. And again, I hope to do a message on the first part of that verse. I will. I did a little bit of prep work on that today, and it's, if you want to do a little word study, type in I wills of Christ and just do the New Testament. It's absolutely incredible. Now let's read the middle of this verse and the latter part of this verse and marvel again at the words set before us. Is these words, they magnify the deity of Christ. Number one, when he says, I will, that's magnifying his deity, who he is. He's God in the flesh, right? This is part of his will as God, right? Remember, there was an everlasting covenant made with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, this I will concerns him as God. Concerns him as the Word of God in that covenant. Because the Father gave him a people. And he's to redeem those people. He's to purchase them with his blood. And he says, I will that they be with me. Knowing, too, and think of this, too. This blew my mind when one of the guys brought it forth in one of the old commentators. He said, this shows you that Christ's will as God the Word was an exact, that the Father's will and the Son's will and the Holy Spirit were all one. Why? Because the Father chose us in Christ, the Son redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit regenerates us, gives us faith, and we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that magnificent? Their will is all one, as God. And this shows, too, this shows the full submission of the Son to the Father's will. Now, when he's in Gethsemane, he says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That's his humanity speaking. But here is his deity. Father, I will. I will. Again, one of the old timers said, this isn't that part right there is not a petition. That's a demand. I will. Strictly because of the covenant obligations made between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely magnificent. And again, it shows that Christ's prayer shows that his will is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Father has given Christ to people. The Holy Spirit regenerates them and gives them faith to believe. And we see that the Son's will, the Word of God's will, the Lord Jesus Christ's will, is that the people of God, who the Father gave him, may behold, look at this in verse 24, may behold my, that's Christ's, glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Beloved God, we do not see Christ now, but we hear of him, don't we? We read of him through the preaching of the word. We hear of him, and by God given faith we believe on him. We believe on him. We rest our eternal souls in his finished work, don't we? His perfect sin atoning work. My oh my. And we walk by faith, not by sight. We've never seen Christ face to face. And yet we trust him with our souls. That's a work of God, beloved. Because natural man, we don't want to trust him. We don't want nothing to do with him. But God's grace, he makes us willing in the day of his power. So what comfort we can glean here. We've been made willing. We've been given faith to believe. We've been given faith to rest on Christ. To say, Christ, my soul is in your hands. It's in your hands. I believe that thou died for me. I believe your blood was shed for me. And sometimes we're weak in the faith, aren't we? Huh? Yeah. Every day, brother, yeah. And sometimes we're strong in the faith. Sometimes we're strong. Sometimes we're weak. And this makes us to walk sometimes very weakly in our way to heaven. But praise be to God. He who keeps us from falling will also preserve us in the way. It's not up to us. We don't keep ourselves. He keeps us. When our faith is strong, he keeps us. When our faith is low, he keeps us. When our faith is in between, he keeps us. When we're tempted and we fall, he keeps us from utterly falling away, from being consumed by our sin. Grants us repentance. But one day there'll be an end to this world. This time state, which we are in, time will be no more. When this world is rolled up like a scroll in the universe and all we see, time will be no more. In the new heaven and new earth, time will be no more. It'll be eternity. And then, again, we will see Christ not for the first time, but forever. Face to face. We are going to behold him forever. Forever. Oh my. My, oh my. And we will know him as we're known. You guys know me. You see me. You know me. We're going to know him in that way. It'll be forever. Amen, sister. Forever. It'll be amazing. It'll be absolutely amazing. Forever. My, for all of eternity. We will be in his presence forever. For all of eternity. We will be in his presence. Why? Because of the grace of God in Christ. Showing to sinners like we. I was talking to a fellow today. And went out for lunch with him. A good friend of mine. And at the end of the meeting, I said, "Well, we're a couple saved sinners, eh?" And he didn't say anything. And I said again, "Yeah, well, we're just saved sinners, aren't we?" "Yeah, that's right." "Yeah, because that's all we are. We're just saved sinners. By the mercy and grace of God, we're saved sinners." You know, we can get so caught up in pointing the finger at other people. This fella tends to do that a lot. We get so caught up in pointing the finger at other people. And that's why I just keep saying, we're saved sinners, man. Don't get caught up looking at someone else. Huh. This world is a world of iniquity. We know it. Scripture declares it, right? World's full of evil. I remember I had a guy tell me one time there was no evil in the world. I laughed at him so hard. And Vicky's family for years wouldn't talk to me after that. Because it was one of her aunt's boyfriends. And then I gave him the gospel. Well, I said, "There's sin in this world." "No, there's not." "Yeah," I said, "you're a sinner right now." And I didn't mince words with him. You know, I said, "I've never heard anyone who says they're intelligent say there's not evil in this world, because there's evil. All you got to do is look around, right? We see it all the time." "Yeah, it's right here." See, now as believers, we see that, right? But think of this. There's going to be a day when we'll never have trouble with sin again. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. We will never sin again. Never. Our minds, think of this, our minds will be totally fixated on Christ. Because we're going to see him, right? And everybody we talk to in heaven are all like us. Sinners saved by the grace. I believe we're going to be going around just in awe that we don't sin anymore. It'll be gone. And to think we can look at him and go, "He redeemed me with his blood. Those hands pierced nails were for me. Were for me. He left heaven for me." Every one of us will be able to say that. And we're going to see him face to face again. So it'll be even more right before us. Again, we see through a glass darkly, right? Right now. We have a little understanding. I think in heaven we're going to know more about what our sin was too. Now it's gone, there'll be no tears for it, but we're going to see the cost right before us. But there'll be no tears, we'll be rejoicing. We'll be singing with the saints of God. unto him. Unto him. Holy, 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 unto him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He is slain for my sins. Hallelujah. And we're going to, you know what? Baptists are going to say hallelujah and glory. Yeah, that's right. We're going to be praising God in glory. I'll tell you what. There'll be no denominations in glory. Just a bunch of saved sinners, beloved. Just a bunch of saved sinners. Oh, my. There'll be no argument. Paul and Barnabas, they're having a wonderful time right now. That's why, you know, you hear preachers having a hard time with another preacher. That's all going to stop in glory. Or one believer having trouble with another believer. That's all going to stop in glory. There'll be perfect unity. There'll be no sin. There'll be no sin. It'll be glorious. And we're not see through a glass darkly then. We're see face to face. We'll be in his presence forever. And oh, think of that, how much joy we've experienced even now. When we hear a gospel message, how much joy that gives our soul. How much comfort it gives us. But think of how much joy we're going to have when we see Christ face to face. Our hearts will almost explode. It'll be so incredible. Absolutely incredible. We hear and we read and we see. We focus our minds upon Christ, but we hope to see him on that day. See, death for a believer, it's a sad day for we who are left behind. But it's not a sad day for those who go home. Not at all. Brother Newell, man, he is beholding Christ. And he has been for months now. My own, can you imagine that? Seeing the Redeemer face to face? My, oh, my, oh, my. We have several, Sister Sylvia, several sisters up there. Right? Sister Louise, brothers and sisters, Sister Louise, Sister Marge, Brother Wayne, Brother Jim, saints that have left us here. And we sorrow for that, but my, oh, my. Their troubles are finished. Their struggles are finished. It's gone. It's absolutely gone. So what joy. Paul writes that we shall ever be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 and 18, that's at the latter part of verse 17, and then he adds these words, comfort one another with these words. I'm going to say this again, beloved. We shall ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. We're going to be forever with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that wonderful? Who's the author of the scriptures? The Holy Spirit. Those are his words. Through Paul. We know very little about heaven right now. You people, I always have to laugh when these people write books on heaven. They have no clue. The Bible speaks very little of heaven. Now, it's a place, we know that, we're going there as God's people. But again, how can a man who sees through a glass darkly write about something that God's made? We can't even imagine. See, that's why when I see those books, I'm just like, it's foolishness. Because he's looking at it, the author then, he or she is looking at it through the eyes of one who sees through a glass darkly. We don't know. I can tell you this, it'll be a place where there's no sin. But the most important thing, you know what the most important thing is? We'll be with Christ. And it will be perfect, brother. But we'll be with Christ. We'll be with him, who is our Redeemer. And it'll be like nothing we can ever imagine. I think about the most beautiful places I've seen in this earth. And I think of those. Think of the most beautiful place you've seen in the earth. And sometimes, you've seen the pyramids, sister. You've seen all the, you know, and they're magnificent. You know, I've seen both oceans, and they're just absolutely stunning. But that's nothing, absolutely nothing compared to what we will see the second we open our eyes and behold Christ in his glory. What a day that'll be, beloved. You know, the Apostle Paul, turn if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you know the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven? And when he was caught up there, he saw things and heard things that he couldn't even utter about. You wonder if he couldn't even put them in human words, what he saw. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul writes this. He says, I knew a man in Christ. There's the key right there, in Christ. About 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Look at that. Unspeakable words. Which is not lawful for a man to utter. He heard things that he couldn't even explain. And they were not lawful for a man to utter. What's waiting for us, beloved? What's waiting for us? Now turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. Now think of the comfort and joy we feel, that we're feeling in heaven as pardoned sinners. When our faith becomes sight, think of how that'll feel for us when we behold the one who purchased our eternal souls with his precious blood. We behold the very one who died in our ruined place and redeemed us. His name being the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle John writes here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, right now, right now, not in the future, right now, we're the sons of God. Look at this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this faith in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And look at this. And ye know, this is something that we know as believers, that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whew. But look at verse 2, right? We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the minute we die, or if we're alive at his coming and he calls us, we shall see him face to face. Oh, my. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. Sinless. Sinless. Spotless. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. There's two little words here that I want us to look at. Because remember what Christ is praying for. He's praying that we would behold his glory, right? So the only way we can behold his glory is if we're with him. Because right now we hope. Our faith is a hope right now, right? But then we're going to see him face to face. And look at this. Colossians chapter 3, we're starting verse 1 and read to verse 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, you ever hear people say these silly statements that you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good? Just toss that away. Because what they're saying is, oh, you've always got your head looking to Christ or thinking about Christ. Look what the scriptures tell us to do. Exactly. Look at the next verse. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That means our heart. When we did the study in Colossians here, that means your heart and your mind. That's all our affections. So when I hear people say that, I stop them. I've had somebody tell me that, and I said, you know what? You're wrong. We can never. Do we ever think of Christ even how we should? I get so distracted during the day and all these things that happen and in the world, and I've got to sit and say, Lord, you're in control. You're in control. You're sovereign. And I tell you, the peace that floods my soul when I do that, when I believe what God says, when he says, hey, I'm in control. This is my world. Not mine. I'm just living in it. I'm just renting space in it. I'm not even renting space in it. He put me here, which I'm thrilled to be with you guys. He moved me from one plot of land out in Oregon. You know, that's coming up we're on our eighth year now. And he brought me here to this plot of land. And I'm so happy. It's wonderful. But that was all by his grace and his sovereignty. And when I look back in my life, even before he was saved and how he took care of me and how he preserved me before, because I could have died. And if I had died, I'd perish from my sins. But I was one of his people and I didn't even know it. And how he took care of me and cared for me then. Loved me then with an everlasting love. And then he revealed himself to me. And oh my whole world changed. Right? Now I've got peace. Now I've got joy in Christ. The reason I say that is look at this. Next verse. For ye are dead and your life is hid. Look at this. With Christ. In God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. These are absolutely wonderful words. And how they tie in. Just those two words, with Christ, right? Think of how they tie in with this. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where's that? With Christ. With Christ. Those are precious words. With Christ. Oh, how this makes the Christian's heart sing. How this fills our heart with joy. We're going to be with Christ. We're going to be with him. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But may we comfort one another with these words. We don't know what we're going to be, right? We don't know. We know we're going to be sinless, right? It doesn't appear right now that we're going to be sinless because we're just a bunch of sinners. But may we comfort ourselves with the simple words, the blessed truth, brought forth in verse 3 there, with Christ. When we are with Christ, that prayer is answered. Every time a saint goes home, that prayer is answered. Isn't that magnificent? All through the ages, the Father will not let one of them not be with Christ, whom he gave to Christ. That's magnificent. That's absolutely magnificent. So now we know. To be absent from the body is what? We can even say, to be absent from the body is to be with Christ. Oh, my. You see how I said this message is going to fill us with joy? It's just wonderful. And even think of this. Even right now, we're still with Christ. He said, I'm going to carry you from conception all the way to your gray hairs, he says. I'm going to do a message on that, Lord willing, down the road too. Wonderful. That means through everything we go through in our lives, when I thought that God wasn't with me, He was always with me. And all, think of this too. Think of all we went through. All those things were working for our good and for His glory. That's a mystery, isn't it? But it's now we look back and we go, my. And Dave, you said something a couple weeks ago. If we hadn't went through some of the things we went through, we wouldn't be who we are today. Yeah, all those things work for the good. All those things. It's absolutely amazing. You know, all through our life, our Lord was molding us and making us. And we had no idea. No idea at all. My, oh my. Preparing us for that which he had for us. You know, every believer is a part of this church. I get to stand up and preach, right? I get that blessing. It's a great, great honor. But I can't do anything without you guys. We all work together. I look at the church as like an outpost. And here we are from Almont and the regions around us, and we're all brought together here for the gospel to go out. And every one of us is being used by God. Every single one of us. Whether it be supporting the church, prayer. I covet prayer so much. The prayers of the saints. Pray for me, beloved. Pray for the messages as they go out. Oh, my. Everything. How we all get together. Audio, video, all the different things. Dave, you're doing the music and piano and everybody who's everybody. We're all involved. You know, prayer is just as important as preaching. Somebody said, what? Well, yeah. It all gives glory to God, doesn't it? Now, preaching is the means that God uses to save souls. But I guarantee you there's been some saints praying according to the will of God. Oh my, it's absolutely magnificent. So with Christ, we don't need any more information, do we? I'm going to be with Christ. That's wonderful. I'm going to take God at His word, are you? Right? One day we're going to be with Christ. See, that's part of what we've been talking about in the messages, in a little bit of a vein that's been going through the messages, is just believing what God says. He says, my people are going to be with me. Christ prayed for us. Who's Christ? Well, He's God in the flesh. Is God the Father ever going to say to God the Son, no, I'm not going to do that? No, because of the conditions of the everlasting covenant that they all agreed upon. And the Father, would any father who loves his child cast him away? No, not if they truly loved him. You know, they often talk about a mother's love. I'll tell you what. I messed up so much when I was a kid. I mean, I messed up so much. And my mom's love for me never changed. Now, my dad got pretty mad at me sometimes. But my mom's love didn't change. It was absolutely amazing. And when I consider the Father's love, I you know, it's not the same as my mom's love, because I told you guys before that no love on this earth can compare to that. But the love that a mom has for her child is absolutely amazing. Child can do almost anything and mom will still love them. Yeah. Yeah, their mom will still love them. Yeah. It's incredible. Now take that and magnify it to a number that you cannot even imagine. You can't even fathom that love. My, oh my. And that's a love the Father has for us. Because look what it says again in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In Thy presence is fullness and joy, and at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. Now note the latter part of this verse. Our Lord prays that His people will behold His glory which was given to him, because the Father has loved Christ before the foundation of the world. Now remember verse 23. Remember verse 23, the end of that. Remember where the Father proclaims that he's loved us as he's loved Christ? Or that Christ proclaims that the Father's loved us as he loved Christ? Well, we see in our text here that Father's loved Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, what can we deduce from that? That the Father's loved us from before the foundation of the world. This is wondrous love. As the hymn writer wrote, "Oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul." You know, the words "before the foundation of the world" is the same phrase which is being used in other portions of Scripture. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And then in 1 Peter it says this, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So he came here for us. He was manifest for us. He saved our souls. "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Who's our faith and hope in? Christ. Who's Christ? He's God. Now, I want to leave us with this. I looked this up. I thought this could be a fitting end for this message. And we always hear "before the foundation of the world," right? Do you know what the Greek word for foundation means? It means before conception. Before the world was conceived. Before the world was conceived, we were chosen in Christ. Before God even conceived it in his mind, he loved us in Christ. I wanted us to leave with that. I decided to look that word up because we hear it all the time. And we think it's probably right before. No, it's before it was even conceived. We plan to have children and then they're conceived, right? By God's grace and by God's mercy. Sometimes we don't plan to have children and they're conceived, right? But before the world was even thought of, his love was set upon us. Oh, what wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. Because he's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Oh, my. Makes it even deeper, doesn't it, beloved? Makes it even more wondrous. This wonderful love that God has for his people. Brother Dave, can you close us in prayer?